Praise the Lord. God's good. I'm going to try that again. God's good. And all the time. Amen. Praise God. I hadn't done that in a long time. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's our privilege to be here today. Thank Josh for allowing me to come and to fill in for him while he's taking some time. And, you know, we are so proud of what God's doing in their lives and the ministry here at the church. And I thank God for the leadership of this church that he has placed here underneath Josh and Rebecca. These guys are doing an awesome job. And the church, I was saying in the first service, I remember we were here a few months ago. They had a water baptism, and our granddaughter Eternity got baptized outside. And there were several others that were baptized in that time. And there was a great group of people that had come in, had been saved, and lives had been recommitted. And it just thrilled my heart. It brought tears to my eyes to see what God is doing, and exciting for me to just see that happening. And I praise God for it. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a couple thoughts here. How many of you know that there are all kinds of adjustments in our lives we have to make? When I go to Sam's, I buy my glasses at Sam's now. It was cheaper. And how many of you know I want to do what I can save money? Amen. I retired. And and so I go in there, and a lot of times my wife will leave me at the door, and I'll go over there, and I'll have them adjust my glasses so that they'll fit better. How many of you ever get your glasses get kind of wompy-jawed and don't, yeah, and so you get them adjusted. You know, there's other things in life that need adjustment. Matter of fact, some of you probably have been to a chiropractor before because your back hurt and you were having a lot of pain, and they went in there, and the doctor got in there, and he manipulated that spine, and he adjusted it so that the pain would kind of go away. How many of you know there's adjustments at work? And you know, have you ever rented a car before? How many of you have ever rented a car? Two of you. Three. Okay. Thing I have to remind myself when I do this, and I don't do it very often, but when I get in a new car, or if we went looking for a new car, or we rent a car, I get in the car, and I have to remind myself to adjust my mirrors. Because you'll get going down the road, and you look up, and you're looking at I'm looking down at the floorboard in the back or something, you know, because it's not right, you know, and the side mirrors are not where they need to be. And then you got to not only adjust the mirrors, but I've got to adjust the seatbelt a little bit, make it fit this thing right here that I've been blessed with. And then there's other things that, you know, you need to adjust in your car besides that. And so adjustments come. And so when I think about adjustments, there's one more thing. How many of you ever had a car that got out of alignment and it had a tendency to pull over to the side, right or left? And if you didn't go get the car aligned, all of a sudden your tires begin to wear out, and you'll see the metal cords and those steel-belted radials begin to wear through. And so if you go and get your car adjusted, it really helps so that you can go down the straight path. And when I think about that straight path, I want to read you a verse of scripture. It's found in Matthew's gospel in chapter 7 and in verse 13. This is what he says about the straight path. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." How many of you know if we want to get to heaven, we've got to keep our eyes focused on heaven? We've got to keep our eyes focused on what God has in store for us. Amen? There's a lot of things in the world that will pull us to the right or to the left. And if we're not careful, it'll get us off of focus where we need to be going. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's all kinds of things in this world that will pull us in the wrong direction. And so we've got to keep our focus ahead. We know that heaven's ahead, and we've got to keep focus in that direction. Well, it's kind of like the tires on your car. You got to adjust them once in a while. I mentioned this earlier in the service. I was going down Otis Road. How many of you ever go down Otis Road over here? Have you ever noticed how many potholes are in Otis Road? I think it has to do with all the garbage trucks and dump trucks and stuff that go down there, and they've just really ate it up, man. They have messed it up. And our car, I didn't drive it today, but we have a Palisade that has this thing that it steers for you almost. Yeah, some of you guys got cars like, do you know what I'm talking about? Well, it doesn't know how to avoid potholes. And I'm sitting there fighting that thing, trying to steer it around, you know. And a couple weeks ago, I was going down, and I was driving my Suburban, which we drove today, and I had a rock fly off of a truck coming out of that dump and smacked my windshield, cracked it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, that road's rough. But our life sometimes gets rough. And sometimes we get out of adjustment, and our attitudes get out of it. Anybody ever had an attitude problem? Don't point at your neighbor next to you. Come on, y'all stop doing that. I saw you point at them and say, he's the one with the attitude, or she's the one that's got the attitude. Come on. You know, if we don't take time to readjust our attitude, sometimes we get off track and we're headed the wrong way. You know, there's a story about a fella who was traveling down a really busy highway, and he was headed down the road, and as he was going, all of a sudden the light turned yellow, and he thought, well, I better stop. So he went ahead and applied the brakes, stopped at the cross, the little walk crossing there in time. He said, now, I could have made it if I went ahead and gunned it, but I just thought I'd do what I should do. And they stopped. Well, the lady that was following behind him was stressed out. And when he hit his brakes and stopped, she was so mad. She dropped her makeup. She dropped her phone. She began to yell, and she began to cuss, and she began to, well, you know, kind of gave him that one-finger salute, you know, thing. And just giving him the devil about, you know, stopping. And before long, all of a sudden, she heard this on the window of her car. And she looked out, and there was this very serious police officer looking at her. And she rolled her window down, and he said, ma'am, you need to get out. And when she got out, I said, put your hands up. Before long, he had her down at the police station, and he had her fingerprinted, had her photographed, had all the things done and checking what she had in her possessions. And they took her back into the booking room, and they placed her in a holding cell. Couple hours go by, and all of a sudden, another officer comes back out there and gets her out of that holding cell and brings her back out to the booking desk to meet the arresting officer. And when she gets out there, the arresting officer looks at her and says, ma'am, I am terribly sorry. It was a mistake that I put you in there. But you have to understand, when I saw you yelling and flipping this guy off and cussing and doing all you're doing, he said, and I saw the license plate sticker around your license plate that says choose life, and then there was one that says that follow me to Sunday school, and another one said what would Jesus do, and another one, he said, well, naturally, I just thought you had stole the car. Some of you got it. You'll get it later. Have you ever noticed how sometimes we as Christians live a different life outside of church? Our attitudes are not right, and we get ourselves into trouble. You see, this is what's happened with this lady. She just had made a mess. How many of you get irritated from time to time? One, two, three. Okay, almost everybody. I got two hands up over there. Pretty regular I get irritated. It's easy to get irritated, isn't it? It's easy to get agitated. It's easy to get things all messed up. And what happens is when that happens, our attitude goes south. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your attitude gets out of whack, and you're upset with everybody and everything. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, when your attitude gets out of adjustment, you get discouraged. And everything you look at turns wrong. Everything goes backwards. And when you get that way, you're in desperate need of what we call an attitude adjustment. Remember, we're talking about the glasses need to be adjusted. We talked about the car needs adjustment. Sometimes our attitude needs a strong adjustment. Anybody with me this morning? You see, our attitude causes us to have all kinds of emotions. And we get upset with everybody and anything. You know, it's easy. I mean, just little things will begin to bother you. It's impossible to go down the straight, narrow path that I mentioned a while ago when you have a bad attitude, because people will set you off. They'll say just the right thing, and it'll just burn your hide. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll just be upset. But if we can ever learn to change our thoughts, we can change our world. You see, we have a tendency to dwell on things a little too long. How many of you know sometimes you just got to let go and let God? Anybody hear me? You've been holding on to that bitterness a little bit too long. Been holding on to some things in your life that you should have just said, you know what, it's not worth the aggravation. I'm going to release them from it. Because it'll cause your attitude to be all out of whack, and everything will begin to seem like it doesn't fit. Sometimes we just need that attitude adjustment. Your attitude will determine your altitude, whether you will go up here or whether you'll be down here. So make sure that you take time. It's up to you which kind of attitude you're going to have, whether it be positive or negative. So today I want to talk to you about how to have an attitude adjustment. How many of you are ready to receive? All right. Let me pray. Father, open our eyes, our ears, and our understanding that we might know you better. God, I pray that in the next few moments, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts and help us to grow and develop into the men and women of God that you want us to be. Help us to, Lord, adjust ourselves to be like Jesus, I pray. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. I want you to understand today that we have to have that same attitude of Christ. We're going to talk about that. We've got to be willing to learn from God's word today. And first, the first point I'll make to you today is, what does it mean to arm yourself with the attitude of Christ? We'll look to Philippians for just a minute and find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it says in verse 1, Philippians 2, 1, if you have any encouragement being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and any compassion, then make my joy by being like-minded, meaning like Jesus. So how was Jesus? It says here, having the same love. How many of you know Jesus loved everybody? People beat on him. People whipped him. People nailed him to a cross. And at the end of the day, when they got through, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of you know that's what love's all about? How many of us want to be like the woman riding in the car and start shouting and hollering at that person in front of us because they made us stop and we wanted to go? We were in a hurry, and we got all upset. How many of you get road rage? You don't raise your hand. But how many of you get road rage once in a while out there? Okay, don't raise your hand. My wife would tell you she has to sometimes look down, because sometimes I get it too. It happens to all of us. We all get in a hurry. We all get into an attitude. And sometimes we've got to learn to just trust Jesus in all circumstances, in all situations. Sometimes we struggle in our walk with him. So he says, having that same love. Then he goes on to say, being one in spirit and purpose. And then he goes on to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Anybody ever get selfish in here? I sang a little song in the first service. I know this group over here for sure will remember this one. But do you know the theme song from Burger King? Have it your way at Burger King. There was another way it went. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your way. Anybody remember that song? I knew all the old people remember. I'm just trying to say, they don't sing that song no more. But that's the way it was. We all have a tendency to want things done our way and right now. Yesterday evening, we were preparing to eat supper, and all of a sudden, the power went out. We didn't have a storm going on at the house or anything. Didn't know what it was, but it kept flickering off and on. And what's really funny is when I got ready to get up out of my recliner, because we were inside in the air conditioning enjoying the evening, the afternoon, my recliner's one of those electric recliners. Anybody know what happens? I'm sitting back like this, my legs are propped up, and I can't get out, and I had to slide over the side and get out, and I finally got out of that thing, and I said, what are we going to do about dinner? Because we decided to make spaghetti. Went in there, and the stove wouldn't work. So I went and started up the generator, and we've got one that's hooked into the house and started it up, but it doesn't run everything. It just runs the essentials. It'll run the microwave, the coffee pot. How many of you know those are important? And the ceiling fans and some of the outlets and refrigerators and things, but it doesn't work the 220 stove. And so what does she do? She pulls out an old electric frying pan and plugs it in and heats up the ground beef and then pours in the ragu sauce and all. How many of you know she made do? It wasn't have it your way, but it happened, and we worked it out. Sometimes you just have to put up with things. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking? You can't be selfish about things. Well, beating the slate, first thing I did after I got the power on the generator, I went and put the seats down in the recliner. So we could get back in them later. But it was a fun day. It was good. She got dinner ready. We ate. But having it your way is different. Now, he says, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, he says, consider others better than yourself. How many of us sometimes think a little more highly of ourselves than we do others? Not a person raised a hand on that one. Y'all are just the sweetest people, I'm telling you. My wife and I have this little ongoing thing that happens pretty regular. She'll say, what do you want for supper? And I say, I don't care, whatever. I'm humbling myself. She said, make a decision. How many of you know what I mean? You ever do that after church? You say, well, we're going out for lunch today. Where do you want to go? I don't know where you want to go. I don't know where you want to go. I don't know. Nobody can make up their mind. We're humbling ourselves because nobody wants to make up their mind. But humility is important. It means putting somebody ahead of you, making sure that you consider their feelings instead of just your own. A lot of times we have a tendency to think about what we want, and it doesn't matter what anybody else wants. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell us here in Philippians, is to humble yourselves in humility, consider others better than yourself. This is kind of the attitude that we have to have. Sometimes we get to thinking about how it affected us more so than how it affected everybody else. And all we're concerned about is our feelings. Now, I want you to know I'm preaching to myself here. Excuse me. I'm preaching to myself. Well, sometimes we only think about how it affects us. He goes on to say, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Verse 5 goes on to say, your attitude should be that of the same as of Christ Jesus. And we list those attitudes here in verses 6 through 8. And he says, being of the very nature of God, he did not consider himself equal with God, something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death. Even death on the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus decided to say, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. Because he could have said that day in the garden, he could have said, Lord, Dad, this is just too much. But no, he said, no, I'm willing to go all the way to the cross. How many of us are willing to lay down what we want for somebody else? That's what true humility is. That's being humble in spirit. That's beginning of an attitude adjustment. That's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter how it affected me. It's how is it affecting others. And so I'm telling you, we've got to be careful how we do this. We need to show the love of Christ in all of our actions. We need to be self-sacrificing, and we need to be humbled. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. I want you to know that this is an example that we need to follow. Now, second point that I bring to you today is this. How do we adjust our attitudes? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, when you realign the front end of your automobile or even the headlights, how many of you ever had headlight, you had to adjust your headlights on your car? Some of you old people remember. I hope you don't mind me calling you old, but I am one of you now, okay? But when I was growing up, my first car, I had a 1958 Chevy Bel Air. It was a four-door. It was one of those ones, if you remember the Wendy's commercial, remember the lady sat in the back seat and they'd turn the corner and she'd slide across the side, one side, and say, where's the beef? Oh, y'all don't remember. Oh, well. Anyhow, it was one of them old cars that leaned and turned. You know, it didn't have a good suspension. And you'd had to go into the what they called it was an inspection station every year. And they would check your brakes. So you had to back up, you'd run forward, and you'd slam on brakes. And it had these little devices over there that showed how much pressure was on each wheel. And then they would check the headlights to make sure they were in alignment and you weren't shooting up in the sky somewhere. I told them earlier, I said, that's coon hunting. When you go out there, you got that light go shining up in the tree. But anyhow, every year you had to go through and pass this inspection. Well, when you go to change those things, and like the front end alignment or the headlights, you had to have what they call a benchmark. Now, a benchmark is a place that you look at as a standard of what it means to be adjusted on your tires and your toe end and the camber and all that, how it needs to be set. And then also the headlights, the way I used to do mine was I'd get one of the other vehicles that was right, and I'd pull up to the garage door, and I put a little X where the light was shining. Then I bring the other one up, and I bring that and adjust that light down to where that one was. Well, how many of you know for us to have an alignment on our spirit and on our attitude, there needs to be some kind of a benchmark? And the benchmark that I believe God has given us is found in Hebrews chapter 2, or chapter 12, and in verse 2. And it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what better benchmark could we have of perfection be than Jesus? It's good preaching, Pastor. Keep it up. Amen. Is there anybody better than Jesus? He was perfect. So when we want to get our lives straightened out, we want to get adjusted. Let's get adjusted to what Jesus is and not to what the world has. How many of you know we get so corrupted by everything in the world that it causes us to get off of balance? We don't know where we're headed, what we're doing. Our attitude is fixed or adjusted by what we see and what we do and what we're a part of. Matter of fact, you know, what type of things influence your decision-making? Think about it for a minute. Things that you watch on television. If you ever watch the news will affect you. If you like Fox News, guess what? They're going to persuade you one way. If you like CNN, they're going to persuade you another way. Hello? How many of you know? Whatever you listen to persuades your thinking or will affect your thinking and how you will go. If you watch horror movies, how many of you know horror movies are going to make you have nightmares? I remember when I was pastoring, there was a young lady. She said, "Oh, we love horror movies. We love it." I'm thinking, what in the world? Why would you want to go see all the blood and all the guts and the werewolves and all this kind of stuff? It would make me have nightmares. I want to go see things that are good. I want to think something that's going to help me sleep well. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't need to put that into my spirit and my mind. So we're affected by the things that we read. We're affected by the things that we listen to. We're affected by the things on television. And we're affected by the people that we hang out with. You ever notice who your friends are? The way they think? They give their opinions to you, and it affects your opinion. When they tell you how they live and what they like and what they don't like, all of a sudden you want to be accepted by them, and so you're going to do what they like to do. If they're a bunch of potheads and you hang out with them, you're going to be walking around like a space cadet. You know, if they're alcoholics, you may not drink, but you're affected by the way they think and their mentality, the way they act. If they're people of the world and do worldly things, all of a sudden you're going to start to have passions for worldly things like they do. But let me just say, if you live around people who are of like faith, they're going to build you up. Come on. I won't be around somebody like Jonathan and Amanda here. I want somebody that's going to be encouraging to me, that lifts up my spirit and gives me hope and gives me vision and gives me dreams in my worship. And I'm thinking about, you know, how good God is instead of how bad things really are in the world. How many of you need a hope and a future? Amen. God will give it to you, but you need to hang around people that have that. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you spend time with. You know, one of the things that you need to do, instead of reading so much of the world, read more of God's Word. Get into His Word. Spend a little bit more time reading the Word. Matter of fact, when you read it, simply ask Him, say, "Lord, could you just speak to my heart today when you're reading?" You know, I've been in the book of Numbers. How many of you know Numbers talks about the names of all the sons that were born to this one and to that one? And sometimes it's not all that exciting. My wife probably got a little irritated with me the other day, but I'm sitting there reading. And how many of you know there's a bunch of names in this book that you can't pronounce? Anybody like me? Well, I got a program on my computer. When I touch it, it brings it up, the name, and I hit the little speaker, and it speaks that name. I was like, how did he come up with that? Where did they come up with these names? I don't always get encouraged, but then I start reading there when it called a guy by the name of Jabez. Anybody ever heard of Jabez? Lord, bless me and increase me. How many of you know there are things, even in those sections of the Bible, that God will use to encourage you and lift you up, and it will cause you to get excited? So every day when I read my Bible, I said, "Lord, speak to me somehow." Now, I don't read just the Old Testament for that purpose. I read the Old, I read the New, I read a part of a proverb and part of a psalm all every day. That way I'm getting something before I leave my time of devotions that's going to lift me up. Because if I just read about he begat who and he begat this one and he begat that, I walked away and I didn't feel like I got a whole lot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I got something because I asked the Lord to show me, and He begins to speak to my heart, and He begins to help me. So I spend more time in prayer. I spend more time in the Bible, and I spend more time around Christian fellowship. These are things that build us up. Number three, what is the result of arming yourself with the attitude of Christ? 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude, because he who suffered in his body is done with sin." I read that before, but he says, "As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." How many of you know, I want to live for Jesus? I want to have the right attitude so that I can please him. If my attitude stinks, how many of you know Jesus isn't pleased with me? Matter of fact, I had somebody in the first service come up and tell me, says, Pastor, says, I needed that message. I think it was just for me. He says, I've already called one person and apologized for my behavior. And he says, I got to get home and talk to my wife. How many of you know, sometimes when we humble ourselves, we realize that we're not living the life we should be living. And we need to live a different life. And that life is to be pleasing to him and to serve him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. So he says, I don't live for evil human desires anymore, but I live for the will of God. How many of you want to live for the will of God? Amen. So if we take the same attitude of Christ, then we should be done with sin. How many of you here would say, I'm done with sin this morning? One, two. Okay, I just double checking here. We're going to have an altar call in just a minute for anybody that's not done with sin. We're going to give you a chance, okay? And then we should no longer live for ourselves, but we should live for Jesus. Amen? So I bring this to a close. Let me just say this, Jonathan, if you'll come. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Anybody ever had a flat tire? You can't go anywhere until you change it. And until you change your attitude, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to find yourself discouraged, defeated, all messed up. A guy by the name of Stephen Covey, he writes books. He's a speaker. He encourages people. He wrote this, and he says, I'm not a product of my circumstances. I'm a product of my decisions. Just because you were born into a situation, just because you were born into a lifestyle and a family that was dysfunctional, doesn't mean you have to stay there. Hello? You're a product not of what you were born into, but of the decisions that you make. If you decide to live for Jesus, he will build you up and he will help you. Winston Churchill said this, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. You can change your attitude. So what kind of attitude have you had lately? Do you need an attitude adjustment this morning? I think a lot of us do. We all need a little bit of adjustment to get fine-tuned back into where we're pleasing God and serving him. Ephesians 4:22 says this, you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So maybe it's time for an attitude adjustment today. Let's put off the old self. Let's become more like Christ Jesus.